At least 140 lives are lost in a Spanish airliner accident. Congress will look into the Eclipse 500's certificate. And 9 American Eagle jets are damaged by a TSA inspector. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 21st, 2008. In what appears to be Spain's second worst aviation disaster ever, government officials now say at least 140 passengers on board a Spanair airliner were lost when the heavily loaded MD-82 ran off the runway on takeoff from Madrid Wednesday afternoon. Spanair is a low-cost airline owned by Scandinavia's SAS. The company confirmed to Bloomberg 162 passengers, 6 crew members, and 4 non-revenue employees were on board. CNN reports at least 26 survivors were transported to area hospitals. The plane was 15 years old and had its last heavy maintenance check performed in January. Most reports from the scene say the airliner's left engine caught fire as the plane sped down the runway. Watch for updates to the text version of this story on aero-news.net. The Eclipse 500 jet is coming in for heavy scrutiny over the next few weeks, following claims by FAA engineers and test pilots that the original type certificate was awarded before the plane was ready. The FAA dug in and defended the awarding of the TC. So, those workers, who are represented by the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, took their concerns directly to the DOT and Congress. It's hard to know in these days of NATCA hyperbole over the air traffic controllers contract how seriously to take any union criticism of the FAA. Well, apparently Congress is taking this one seriously. The House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, chaired by Congressman James Oberstar, will convene a hearing into Eclipse 500 type certification questions on September 17th. The TC was awarded on September 30th, 2006, coincidentally a Saturday and the last day of the fiscal year. But the plane has since been the subject of a number of FAA airworthiness directives and vocal criticism by some buyers, leading to a number of mods and revisions. The FAA acknowledged Wednesday that it began a 30-day review of the 500's certificate on August 11th, led by former Boeing safety executive Jerry Mack. An oversight team of 7 FAA experts with specialties such as flight testing, avionics, and certification are conducting this review. Eclipse CEO Roel Pieper says the company will fully cooperate with the probes. Quote, "This special review will uncover what we already know, that the Eclipse 500 marks the safest new airplane introduction into service in 20 years. We look forward to this investigation dispelling any inaccuracies about the certification of this airplane once and for all." Unquote. In 20 months of customer shipments, Eclipse has delivered 245 aircraft and accumulated more than 32,000 total fleet hours. The FAA mentioned in its official statement announcing its own review that certification reviews are conducted regularly. The agency notes that in the last 10 years, it has conducted special reviews on the Liberty XL2, Mitsubishi MU-2B, Cessna 208, the twin Cessna 400 series, Raytheon 390, and the Beechcraft T-34. The Transportation Security Administration continues to provide a shocking demonstration of what can happen when a rapidly bloating government bureaucracy is allowed to overspill the mandate which created it. 9 American Eagle regional jets were grounded at Chicago's O'Hare International Airport Tuesday, affecting 40 flights, after the discovery of damage caused by an overzealous TSA inspector. ABC News reports the inspector, who was charged with checking for unsecured cabin doors on the tarmac, decided to take things a step further and try to climb the fuselages of the planes using air temperature probes on the plane's noses as handholds. Officials with American Eagle confirmed to ANN the problem was discovered by maintenance personnel who inspected the planes Tuesday morning and questioned why the total air temperature probes all gave similar error indications. After TSA, in this one incident, put at risk more lives than were lost in the 9/11 attacks, you might assume the agency would be falling all over itself to apologize. Well, you'd be wrong. TSA is backing up the action of its employee. Agency spokesman Elio Montenegro told ABC, quote, "Our inspector was following routine procedure for securing the aircraft that were on the tarmac," unquote. Make sure to follow this story closely. TSA announced a few days ago that 15,000 general aviation aircraft at 4,700 small airports around the country will soon be receiving this same level of loving attention. When that starts, you may want to add a few items to your pre-flight checklist. If this is now officially routine procedure for the TSA, your pitot tube may be next. On to some cheerier news. Pilots Scott Kasperowitz and Steve Shaik have succeeded in flying around the world in a helicopter in only 11 days, 7 hours, 2 minutes. That shatters the previous world speed record by almost 6 days. The record is pending authentication. The pair averaged 74 knots over the entire 11 days, flying regularly at 160 knots between refueling points, and took their unmodified Augusta Westland Grand helicopter through 18 countries, 24 time zones, 49 states, 78 fuel stops, and almost 21,000 nautical miles in less than 12 days. Augusta Westland is thrilled. Senior VP Renzo Lunardi beamed, quote, "We're delighted that the Augusta Westland Grand performed as well as the crew. Averaging around 2,000 miles per day is an incredible feat. I am sure this is a record which will stand for many years," unquote. Find more detail on this and all our stories at aero-news.net. Up next, United will now charge for snacks and meals. NASA says it has solved the Ares 1 vibration problem. And the Delta-Northwest merger may sail past Congress. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-Cessna.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 21st. I'm Paul Plagg. In its relentless quest to further improve the customer experience, United Airlines will stop handing out free pretzels and cookies to coach flyers across North America and will even charge for meals in business class on most flights. Besides cutting snack costs and bringing in new revenue $7 at a time, the airline says it'll be able to fly with fewer flight attendants. The San Francisco Chronicle obtained a copy of the memo to United employees on Monday, which explains, quote, "We must continue to examine every aspect of our business and find new ways to improve our day-to-day operations through efficiencies that still meet our customers' expectations," unquote. These days, isn't aiming to meet customer expectations of an airline aiming pretty low? In what some might call an inelegant solution, NASA announced on Tuesday it will employ 17 large dampers to address a thrust oscillation issue in its upcoming Ares 1 booster rocket. The Associated Press reports 16 remote-controlled vibration dampers will be attached to the vehicle, each with 100-pound weights attached to springs. An additional shock absorber will be mounted near the rocket's midsection, using a ring of weights and springs to stop vibrations from reaching the Orion manned capsule that sits on top of the rocket. Ares project manager Steve Cook admits the weights will add, well, weight, but stresses that the rocket will be able to handle it, adding that other technical issues facing the program will also be resolved. Executives at Delta and Northwest have to be pleased with the timing of their merger attempt. With a presidential election, economic concerns, and the war in Iraq all stealing headlines, the U.S. Congress appears to have little interest in stalling Delta's all-stock takeover of Northwest. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution reports Congress is now scheduling hearings for its fall session, and not one single review of the Delta-Northwest deal is on the docket. Delta spokeswoman Chris Kelly observes, quote, "We believe that Congress saw that antitrust would not be a significant concern with this deal," unquote. The EU already signed off on the merger. About the only speed bump remaining in the process is labor unions. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers remains opposed to any losses for its membership at Northwest and promises to keep pressure on Congress to intervene. Officials of both companies say they expect regulatory approval by the end of the year. On behalf of the National Business Aviation Association, NBAA President and CEO Ed Bolin extended his sympathies Wednesday to those affected by the sudden loss of Connie Penny, NBAA's Vice President of Membership Marketing, that happened earlier this week. Quote, "Connie's co-workers will remember her for her tremendous commitment to NBAA and her professionalism in everything she did. We will miss her terribly," unquote. Before coming to NBAA in November of 2005, Connie served as Director of Member Data and Strategic Services with AARP. She's survived by her husband and three children. Ed Bolin will represent NBAA at her funeral today in her hometown of Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania. NBAA is in the process of establishing a memorial fund. Still ahead, a Muslim pilot sues to get off the terror watch list. Denver embraces alternative energy just as Democrats arrive. And the Waukegan Air Show has been canceled. You're listening to Aero News.
Okay. Right up front, let me say that Garmin does not give tax advice. We have lawyers who cringe at the very thought of suggesting there might be tax advantages to buying a new Garmin avionics system this year.
Did he say tax advantages?
Could that be construed as tax advice, either express or implied?
Yeah, like I said, lawyers. So I guess I won't be telling you that this year Congress is offering special bonus depreciation up to 50% in year one for qualified business equipment placed in service during 2008. Business equipment like, say, a new Garmin avionics stack. But you didn't hear that from me, right?
What did he just say?
Okay, better check with your tax consultant for guidance and your Garmin dealer for the installation. Garmin. Follow the leader.
See your tax advisor for guidance.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 21st, 2008. I'm Paul Plack. Tell me we couldn't see this one coming. A commercial airline pilot is suing the Department of Homeland Security to have his name removed from the U.S. terrorist watch list. Eric Scherfin is a U.S. combat veteran of the First Gulf War. He converted to Islam in 1994, and his wife is Pakistani. The 37-year-old New Jersey native says neither he nor his wife have any criminal background nor ties to any terrorist group, but their names were added to the watch list in 2006. He discovered this in April after he was suspended from his year-long job as a pilot for Colgan Air over security concerns. He's still out of work. Scherfin tells the Associated Press, quote, "My livelihood depends on being off this list," unquote. Scherfin says all attempts to resolve the issue with DHS or the TSA have been unsuccessful. His lawyer, Amy Forster, is representing Scherfin with assistance from the American Civil Liberties Union. She says, quote, "We have a problem when a law-abiding combat veteran is about to lose his job because the government has placed him on a terrorist watch list but refuses to tell him why," unquote. One of the nation's largest airports has announced it's going green and doing it in a very conspicuous way. Just in time for the Democratic National Convention to arrive in the city, a 2-megawatt solar energy system was dedicated this week at Denver International Airport. The photovoltaic system spans 7.5 acres at the airport's entrance and is part of Denver's effort to reduce carbon emissions by more than 6.3 million pounds a year. The array is one of the largest at any public airport in the U.S. DIA is one of 3 U.S. airports to be accepted into the Environmental Protection Agency's National Performance Track Program. Organizers for this year's Waukegan Air Show near Chicago say they've come up about $12,000 short of the $80,000 needed to put on the show next month, so it's being canceled. Waukegan Regional Airport Manager Jim Stanzak told the Chicago Tribune, quote, "We had the commitments there, but we didn't have the money in hand. With rising fuel costs and the economy being what it is, those were a couple of the contributing factors," unquote. The show was scheduled for September 6th, with aerobatic acts and vintage warbirds. Stanzak says the show has grown over the years, attracting over 15,000 attendees last summer. He says organizers decided against putting on a compromised show within available funds. The Tribune reports the funds on hand will be used as a head start toward a show next year. And finally, like Billy Bob Thornton's character in The Astronaut Farmer, Morris Jarvis dreamed of someday blasting off into space. As a child, he sat glued to the TV set as man walked on the moon. Later, he studied aerospace engineering in college. Over the years, Jarvis built countless models of spaceships, exhaustively studied the space shuttle, and even interviewed real astronauts and NASA engineers. But even his friends and coworkers were a little surprised when, in 1993, he started building a space shuttle in his garage in suburban Phoenix. Jarvis founded Star Systems Incorporated, working evenings, weekends, and during vacations. A prototype of his Hermes spacecraft is now on public display for the first time at the Intel Developer Forum in San Francisco this week. Morris and his team figure they need about another $1.5 million to finish testing and begin regular space flights. They're looking for money and recruiting other dreamers for their mission. Morris says the Hermes first flight will be an unmanned, tethered flight at Utah's Bonneville Salt Flats in October. Morris will control the spacecraft from a remote cockpit on the ground. Numerous sensors and computing systems will gather critical flight data and provide real-time feedback to Morris and his flight crew. Later, he says Hermes will be equipped with an engine pod, towed to about 113,000 feet by a helium balloon, then flown back to Earth using the remote cockpit. Assuming that all works out, manned flight will follow. Wow! Inspired by something he saw on TV? Spent years working on the prototype? Looking for dreamers with money? For a minute there, I was flashing back to the Martin jetpack. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, my guest is Jay Carter Jr., president of Carter Aviation Technologies. Jay will explain how the Carter Personal Air Vehicle will be used to make an unrefueled flight from Dallas to Paris, starting with a vertical takeoff. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts. Find them on iTunes, Yahoo, Odeo, and at our website, www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.